Psalms 127, verses 3 through 5. Psalms 127, verses 3 through 5. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court.
Amen. Good job. We're going to be in Psalm 127 this morning. If you have your Bible and want to turn there, that would be great. We'd love to have you join us there. I don't know if you've ever got a piece of advice late to where you think, boy, if I'd have just known that earlier, it would have helped. I think of a time in our family specifically that happened. It was several years ago that we were in New Mexico in the summer, whitewater rafting, and we had all got on our life vests and we had got in the boat and we had got our stuff. And the guy that was in the boat with us, that was going to be our tour guide, had said, we're going to just kind of move across the river to the other side and wait for a few minutes, and then we'll take off and go. And we scooted to the other side and moved over our little boat across the river and happened to bump a rock that was on the other side. And my tallest son, who is all legs and arms, when we hit the rock, went over the side of the boat. All arms, all legs, everything else. He'd been married about 2 weeks. And I remember my new daughter-in-law saying, well, I just got him and now I've lost him. He disappeared for a few minutes and showed up on the other side of the raft, and we pulled him back in. And it was about that time that the tour guide said, you know, I forgot to tell you, you're supposed to lock your feet in the raft underneath to hold you in so that you don't fall out. And I remember specifically Parker saying, you know, that might have been good to know up front before we started. He was a little frustrated at the time. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes when we get things that are told to us after we needed to know them, it can be a little frustrating at times. We can think to ourselves, I wish I would have known that. Somebody made mention the other day, a comment, I wish there was a manual on how to raise kids. I wish there was a manual on how to raise families. And I thought, there is. It's right here. And sometimes we forget. And then sometimes we go, well, I wish I'd have known that before I did this or before I did that. And so I want to remind you this morning that as we talk about raising families and building homes and building houses of families, that the best way and the only way and the right way to build a house is the Lord's way. That unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. That everything has been given to us in instruction, in wisdom, and everything else. And I don't know, maybe you've got sometime or another something that you had to assemble or put together and they forgot to include some instructions with it. Or a friend of mine said the other day, said, I got instructions, but they were all in Chinese. And he said, I don't read that. I didn't know what I was doing. And it's frustrating. So this morning, today, as we talk a little bit about building healthy homes and building healthy families, I want you to understand up front, not too late, up front now, that we have a manual, we have a guide, and that everything that we need to know on building families has been given to us. That God has given some specific plans and guidelines on how to raise kids, on how to do marriage, on how to do homes. We just have to not only know what it is, but then we also have to do it. We've got to be like the wise builder who put the words into practice. And when we do things God's way, things work like they're supposed to. I find it interesting that God told the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 9, in explaining about how to do house and home and family. And he says, when you get up in the morning and when you lay down at night and when you walk along the road and when you sit down at the table, you should be talking about, and he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And these are the commands that I give you. And that's when you are to impress these upon your children, to talk about them when you are at home and when you walk along the road and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Meaning, talk about God all the time. God is supposed to be something that you get more of than just here at services on Sundays, whether it was worship or Bible class. Did you know the average kid that goes to school, to public school or any school, gets 1,000 hours of class time in training per year? But if you were to bring a child to church every Sunday and every Wednesday and never missed anything, they'd get about 50 hours. Can you imagine 50 versus 1,000? That means that really what needs to happen is, yes, bring them, but you also need to have them in your home, in your Bible class, teaching them about God at nighttime and when they get up and have conversations that deal with God. The second thing that I want you to catch this morning is that we learn from verse 2 that if we're going to build the house, if we want God to build the house, we need to guard it spiritually the Lord's way. Meaning, we have to pump our children and our home with God's guideline for how to do life. When we guard it spiritually, not physically, we can be successful. Notice what he says in the middle of verse 1 and verse 2. He says, unless the Lord watches over the city, unless you've done this the Lord's way, unless you have God added to this, the guards stand in vain. And in vain you would rise up early, and in vain you would stay up late toiling for food. But he grants sleep to those he loves. When God is a part of it, I'd like to think that you can sleep a little bit better at night, knowing that I have given the spiritual things to my family, not just the physical things that come along. It's important that we choose spiritual things over physical things. There's not anything wrong with giving your children and your family the physical things they need, but it's the spiritual things that matter. Your child and my children need guidance and training the moment they come out of the womb. Psychologists are telling us today that children have their basic personality set by the time that they're about 5 years old, knowing right from wrong and getting an idea in life. And so it's important to understand that while it may be cute at 2 for a child to say no, at 15 it's not so cute when they tell you no. So you start young and you start early with children, teaching them about what's right and about what's wrong and about saturating their life with God things. One of the best programs that we have going on right now, right here, is a program called Leadership Training for Christ, LTC. It takes a lot of work, it takes a lot of effort, but it is one of the best things that take place here at Sunset and in this brotherhood is Leadership Training for Christ. It's where our kids can get involved in learning specific things about the Bible, whether it's Bible Bowl or puppets or whatever it is that they do. And that's going on right now. They're doing signups. And if you get a chance, I think you've probably seen it in your bulletin, you need to be getting your kids involved in LTC. What a great way to add spiritual things to their lives. Our children's program has a program right now called Bible Buddies, where you can come and adopt a stuffed animal. And then you take that animal home along with a Bible, a children's Bible, and you have mom or dad or a grandparent that reads a Bible story to that child and to that Bible buddy. And it's just a great way to get children and their parents into God's Word. There's some great ideas and some great plans of things that take place. And we've got to add spiritual, we've got to guard our homes spiritually. Can I just say that if my kid goes to Harvard because I've worked hard to educate him, but doesn't go to heaven, I have failed him. If my child is a fantastic baseball player and I have bought him all the latest gear and I have got him all the lessons that I've done and we spend tons of time doing baseball and he turns into a fantastic baseball player but doesn't go to heaven, I haven't given him what he needs. We have to be parents to make sure that we give our children what we need and at the same time don't fail them in areas where we as parents need to teach and train. I want to share with you just a second a few little areas that sometimes where we mess kids up. Sometimes parents today do these very things, and I wanted to mention them this morning. One of the worst things that you can do for your children is lie for your kids. And generally, this takes place when your kids are in school, or maybe they don't want to get out of bed one morning, and they go, can I just please sleep in? The worst thing you could do would be go, I'll write you a note saying that you felt bad this morning, and then you can go to school later in the day. Don't ever lie for your children, because basically you tell them it's okay at times to lie. I had four boys, and I think all of them had the same speech at one time or another while they were in high school. And you know, that's very tiring. Kids get just worn out. But I remember many mornings, every one of my kids waking up going, Dad, would you just let me sleep a little longer? Just let me miss my first period class. I'm not behind on my grades. I won't miss anything. And I would tell all of them, I am fine with that. You can sleep as long as you want. But I will write the note that says you chose to sleep in instead of going to school. Did you know every one of them got out of bed and went to school that morning? Now, they were a little mad at Dad, I will say that. But we were not going to lie for our children. The second thing that you can do to really ruin your children is to not give them any rules. Children need rules. In fact, one of the best ways to spell love is R-U-L-E-S. Our children need rules. And I thought it was interesting. I read the other day, 78% of college students, when polled, were your parents strict enough on you, said they weren't. I should have had more rules. So don't think to yourself, hey, my kids already feel like they have a lot of rules. Give your children rules. That's something as parents that we do because we love our children. The third thing I want you to catch about children and giving them the spiritual things they need and not ruining them the other direction is when your child gets in trouble, don't automatically think everyone is out to get them. Now, I don't know what has changed from the 80s when I was a kid to today, but there are some things that have changed. When I was in school back in the 80s, and I, yes, a couple of times would get in trouble, and the assistant principal would call my mom and say, I need your permission. Your son is in my office, and I need your permission to give him some swats today. Not one time did my mother ever say, my poor baby, I just can't believe he would do that. Not one time did she ever say, well, obviously, there was a coach that probably just doesn't like him and is trying to get him into trouble. Every time she would say, you whip him and you tell him when he gets home, I'll give him some more. Now, fast forward, and today I have multiple friends in the schools, independent school districts that are in the position of principals or assistant principals. And they said it's amazing how many times they call when a kid has made a mistake and they call a parent and they go, my kid would never do that. My kid would not do that. Obviously, there was another kid that caused this. You've got the wrong kid. It was a coach. It was somebody else. You're just out to get my child. Can I just tell you, honestly, sometimes your kids make mistakes. And you don't always, you know, err on the side of grace. I do believe that. But sometimes your kids are going to do things, believe it or not, they shouldn't have done. And not everybody's out to get them. The fourth thing I want you to catch this morning is one of the worst things you can do is never discipline your children, only threaten them with it. When your child makes a mistake or you tell them, hey, if you do that again, you are in trouble, then the next time they do that again, they need to be in trouble. The worst thing you can do over and over and over is go, hey, the next time you're in trouble, the next time you're in trouble, the next time you're in trouble. Lee and I were in Target several years ago, and I don't ever want to judge a sweet little mama with a three-year-old because those are pretty hard to handle. But I remember being on the same aisle as her, and her little three-year-old climbed out of the basket because I remember thinking, oh, he's going to fall. Climbed out. She picked him up, put him back in, and said, don't get back out. If you get back out, I'm going to bust you. She turned around, and he was back out. She picked him back up, put him back in the basket, and said, I will spank you if you do this again. Four times she told him that without following through. I remember telling Lee, should I go ask to hold him for her so she can spank him? And she said, you don't get involved. But I just remember thinking, you can't always just threaten your children. Sometimes there has to be some punishment there. Number five, as I think about ways that are opposite of what we're talking about this morning, is one of the worst things you can do is not make God a priority in your life, in their life. You have to be intentional about adding God to their lives. Children and families don't need a little dose, a little sprinkling of God today. They need the whole load. They need it dumped into the family. Number six, don't pull strings to get them out of trouble. If your child makes a mistake and gets in trouble, sometimes the best thing they can do to learn is let them do the time when they commit the crime. It's just part of life. We've tried really hard to not pull strings to get our kids out of trouble. That when the principal calls and goes, your son did this, we say, hey, give him whatever he deserves. Sometimes they'll never learn if they don't ever get caught. We've had one that got caught several times in high school, just little stuff over and over. And he was like, I don't know how I always get caught. And I remember Lee and I told him, said, we always pray that if you're doing something you shouldn't, you get caught. And that made him mad. He said, why would you ever pray that I get caught? And we said, because if you don't get caught, you'll never change and you'll keep doing it. I think today he understands that. Back then he didn't. But sometimes you've got to let your child do the time for the crime. In Childress, Texas, there is a curfew. 12 o'clock on the weekends, 11 o'clock on weekdays. If you're under 18 and you're out, you can get in trouble for being out past curfew. So my children always had the curfew of 11 and 12. When they would go, hey, what time do I need to be home? When's curfew? 11 o'clock. Okay, be home at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock on weekends. And they did a good job checking in most of the time, and we'd know where they are and what they're doing. But I had one time that specifically asked, Dad, can I stay out past 12 tonight? We're over at Shelby's house watching a movie with a group of kids from church, and the movie's not going to end until 12:30. And he was checking in, doing the right thing like we'd asked him to do. And I told him specifically, I said, hey, now you do know curfew, and you can get in trouble for staying out past curfew. And his response via text was, nobody ever gets in trouble for being out past curfew. Now you know where this is going, don't you? That night at 12:30 on the way home, he got pulled over, and as a 17-year-old kid, he got a ticket. He came in the door and he was not happy. He said, Dad, you knew where I was, you knew what I was doing, and I should not have got a ticket for being out past midnight. And I remember saying, hey, just go to bed, we'll deal with this tomorrow. We'll sleep on it tonight. And I went to bed, I went in there and laid down. I remember my wife, I told my wife, I said, I knew where he was, what he was doing. I said, I don't even have to call. Judge Jay Maiden is my friend. I'll text him on Monday, and I'll tell him I knew where he was and what he was doing, and I have no doubt he'll tell me, just throw the ticket away, he'll take care of it. But his wise mama said, but will he learn anything from that? And I said, you're probably right. So we went in the next day and said, here's what we've decided to do. Since we gave you permission to stay out past midnight, we will pay a half of whatever the fine is, and you have to pay the other half because you ask and you knew when curfew was. We went down together on Monday and paid that fine. It was $120 for him to be out past midnight. I had to pay $60, which I didn't want to do that, but it didn't hurt me too bad. But $60... to a 17-year-old kid who pushes a lawnmower in the heat in 101-degree temperatures, that was a lot of money. Here's my point I want you to catch. Guess how many times after that day he asked to stay out past curfew? That number would be zero. Never again did it ever come up because he learned there's certain rules that we have to follow. Can I just remind you and me as parents and as grandparents that sometimes pulling strings to get your kids out of trouble isn't the best thing? Let me give you one more. Seven, don't strive to be their best friend. You need to be their parent. The book of Proverbs is all full of how parents are supposed to be with their children. We're supposed to be parents. God gave you children to raise your children and you to be their parent. Now, there will come a time when they're raised and grown and adults. My boys who are now all grown are some of my best friends, and I am honored to be their friend. But as teenagers and as children, they didn't need a friend. They needed a parent. And there were times where I would have to say no. There were lots of times when they did not like me. But you know what? God did not give me children for them to like me at certain times. God gave me children to raise in such a way that they were godly people that they had morals and values and spirituality that God has said, invest this into them. So I just remind you, it's so important that you follow God's ways and don't bend those rules in any form or fashion. So important that you do that. Let's move on. Number three, understand children are a blessing from the Lord. The Bible says heritage. Notice in verse 27, it's on your board, verses 3 and 4, but I want to read this again. Children are a blessing, a heritage from the Lord. Offspring, a reward from them. Children are not an interruption in your world. They're not a hassle. They're a beautiful thing. And even notice down here what he says, blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. He's going to call them arrows in a minute. We'll talk about that. And if you've got multiple children, you are a blessed person. If you have children, you are rich in relationship. That is a beautiful thing. And sometimes we forget just how beautiful it is as parents to be rich in relationship with our children. We want to be people who see our kids as arrows. And notice he says, like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. So children are arrows, and that you, parents, grandparents, makes you a warrior. We are the warriors, and accept your responsibility and do your job. You say, what is my job as a warrior with my kids being arrows? Well, number one, you got to shape them. I guarantee you, warriors during this time didn't just walk along some path and go, well, hey, there's a perfectly straight stick with a sharp thing on the end of it. There's me an arrow. They had to take and find and hone out and clean up and get and build and work. And you got to shape and mold and make those arrows. And then being the warrior, you use them for battle. You go, what kind of battles do we have? We live in a dark world. My job is to shoot my kids that are light bearers into a dark world. And we want to be people who are warriors that say, my job is to raise good, godly young men and young women that will bear light in a dark world and release them that way. Notice this fourth thing down here, because this is a part you got to catch. You know, children, those arrows, you not only hold them, you not only keep them close, you not only shape them, but you got to let them go. There's two things that stand out right here in this last verse. Blessed is a man whose quiver is your job. You got parents, if you still got children at home, your job is to aim. Can I just tell you, that arrow is going to go at whatever you're aiming them at. And if you're aiming them at godly things and good things and in the right direction, that's the way they're going to go. But what you've got to do, and this is really tough, there's going to come a time when you're going to have to let loose and let them fly. That's your job as a parent. And if you got little ones in your home right now, I can promise you, I've been there, you're going to blink about twice. And all of a sudden, they're going to be walking across the stage in high school. And they're going to be getting a diploma, and it's going to scare you to death. Because you've been aiming them for 18 years, whether you knew it or not. And the day comes where you have to let them fly. One of the greatest things in this life is letting your children fly. To let them do life on their own. To watch them do life and become fathers and mothers and godly men and godly women. But we do have to let them go. They've got to be released. Let me read you this point right here and we'll close. Parents, instead of wringing your hands and saying, I don't want to bring children into this horrible world, I want to encourage you to raise your children to be light bearers. You're the warriors. Raise your children to be light bearers in a dark world. Raise them to be men like Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and girls that have the same standing, that they just go, hey, I am going to make a difference where I am. And let them be gifts to our world, to a dark world, for people who live in here. Let them be light bearers. Let me close with this last thought for a second. That's the third pig in the story of the three pigs. My two grandkids, every time they come to my house, they immediately, we've been reading this story regularly. And they want to read this story every time they come over. And I have the three pigs sitting in here. Shepherd, who is two, comes in. He gets confused. He says, "Pops, read me the five pigs." And I go, "No, it's three." But the point I want you to catch is this. Mama knew something when she sent the boys off, the pigs off. Mama knew there was a right way to build a house and that there was a big bad wolf. And she told all three of those pigs, "You go build the right kind of house because the big bad wolf is going to come." And if you remember the story, two of them did not build the right kind of house. They built a house of straw, house of sticks, not a strong house, not a good house, but one did it right. And if you remember, he's the hero in the story. Because when the wolf comes to the first and the second, they all run to this guy's house and they're hiding under the bed when the wolf shows up and says, "I'm going to huff and puff." And this pig here, knowing that he built the right kind of house, he's not hiding under the bed. He goes, "Huff and puff, I don't care. Blow all you want. You're not going to blow my house down." So if you catch anything from the lesson this morning, catch this. God has given you instruction on how to build the right kind of house. A house that will withstand the big bad wolf or Satan or any of those other things that the world's going to blow at you. Be the third pig. Build your home and build your family in such a way that when the big bad wolf shows up, oh, he's going to blow. But you know that my house is good because I've done it the right way. I've used the instruction given here to instruct my children on how to do things. Unless the Lord builds the house, unless you do it God's way, the builder labors in vain. Psalm 127, verse 1. We're going to sing an invitation song at this time. If you're here this morning, we can pray for you. We'd be honored to do that down front or announce it as to the congregation to pray together. If you're ready to become a Christian and confess Jesus as Lord and give him your life and be baptized today, what a wonderful time that would be. We'd like to visit with you more about that if you just have some questions. But if you have a need this morning, we can help you with. Would you come as we stand and sing this song?